Hello and welcome to the Success Unscrambled podcast. This is Alvern, and I help women who want to live a life of time and freedom become wildly successful using proven organic marketing strategies so that they can finally achieve those lifelong dreams with confidence. Today's podcast, we'll be looking at the big reason why you fail to set and achieve goals this year. Do you want to crush or achieve goals that you set out at the start of this year? Did you remember to convert your dreams by setting goals for the future? I'm going to read a quote for you from Tony Robbins, and it goes like this. Setting goals is the first step in turning the invisible into the visible. Setting goals is the first step in turning the invisible into the visible. And that again is by Tony Robbins. You may have noticed this. Many people around you are vigilantly looking to achieve success. They may be looking for success at college, at work, in their careers, at physical fitness, or even in their marriage. It is not uncommon to hear people say that they are working on achieving their goals. There are some people who talk about frustration, pain, failure, or even difficulty in getting results. Many people even struggle with achieving their goals due to several reasons, obstacles, or unforeseen circumstances. The truth is that it is possible for you to turn your dreams into reality if you make it a priority. Yes, this applies to all aspects of life, from personal character goals all the way through to business-related and career goals. So in this particular podcast, I will go through the process of setting goals as well as how to achieve them, giving you three real-life examples. Are you ready? Let's get into it. So what is the benefit of setting goals anyway? Okay, I have a quote here from Les Brown, and it goes like this. Your goals are the roadmaps that guide you and show you what is possible for your life. I'll repeat that again. Your goals are the roadmaps that guide you and show you what is possible for your life. And that again is by Les Brown. So just in case you're brand new to the idea of goals and setting goals and achieving goals, let us spend some time looking at those in the first place. So what is a goal? Well, a goal is basically a result someone is trying to achieve. For example, you may want to bake a red velvet cake. Delicious. Or get an A in your exam. Or lose weight. Or even become a more patient person. I know. Knowing your goal is the first step in wanting to achieve it. If you don't have a goal, then it is a bit difficult to expect results. Now that you know your goal, the next step is to set it all up. The only way to achieve a goal is to set it. So the key benefit of setting a goal is that you make a plan to achieve it or get your desired result. The process of goal achievement needs planning. Depending on the size of your goal, you may need a little bit of time, or maybe you need a whole lot more time. Some people have been trying to achieve goals for like 20 years or 10 years. I don't know what your current situation is. So how do you turn dreams into goals? Well, according to Greg Reed, another quote here, a dream written down with a date becomes a goal. A goal broken down into steps becomes a plan. A plan backed by action becomes your dreams or makes your dreams come true. I'll say it again. A dream written down with a date becomes a goal. A goal broken down into steps becomes a plan. A plan backed by action makes your dreams come true. Yay! You have to appreciate the quote from Greg Reed, which gives you a sort of concise way of how to go about setting and achieving your goals. Personally, I like the fact that he starts at the level of a dream, simply because you have more motivation to achieve a goal if it is a dream of yours. Let me explain what I mean. When you are working a 9-to-5 job, in most cases, you're spending time trying to accomplish someone else's dream. However, when you are working on a project that you initiated because of a big dream, it does not feel like work anymore. If you remember Martin Luther King Jr., in his famous speech on August 20, 1963, he said, And I quote, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed." The reason why he got so much support for his dream is that it was also the dream of so many other people in America at that point in time. Have you ever wondered what would happen if he did not make or did not even take a public stand and make that speech? What kind of different world would we be living in? Let's look a little bit about planning goals. And I have a nice quote for you here from Michael Phelps. And he says, "I think goals should never be easy. They should force you to work, even if they are uncomfortable at the time." So, what do you think about that? Now that you have a dream and you have written it down with a date, it is time to make a plan around it to get the results. A simple example of this is to make a red velvet cake. I don't know about you, but red velvet cakes are nice, especially when it's well made. You know that you need to get sort of the ingredients to make, you know, red velvet cake, the coloring, the chocolate. Yes, it has chocolate in red velvet cake, in case you didn't know. The flour, the eggs, the milk, etc. Also, you need a cake tin or something to put it in to bake it, and somewhere to bake it, like an oven. So you could be living in, say, for example, in a flat or an apartment, and you just don't have an oven. Then how are you going to make a cake? You also need to ensure that you have people to eat the cake. That's so important. You're not going to eat a cake all by yourself, are you? All right. So one important element is time. If you only have 10 minutes of spare time and it takes an hour to prepare, bake, and cool down the cake, then it does not make sense to start making the cake, does it? It is possible that you are baking the cake for someone's birthday, or even a cake sale at your child's school, or better yet, a cake sale in the office. A key element in deciding to take action is to imagine in your head how you will feel when you achieve your goal, as well as if you don't achieve your goal. Without applying emotion to the equation, your goal will feel like a task or even a chore. There will be no motivation at all to take action. With that in mind, let's look at the steps to goal setting or setting goals. Using SMART goals, and that's S-M-A-R-T, to assist with goal setting activities is one of the best ways to actually make goals manageable. You can't have a big goal of, okay, I want to build a house, and you just keep on, you know, using something like the law of attraction or manifestation or something like that, and dreaming and writing it down, like saying, I want to build a house, and expect it to sort of materialize. That just doesn't work. So let's look at the acronym SMART, S-M-A-R-T. It can be broken down as follows. One is, S is specific, M is measurable, A is achievable, R is realistic, and T is timely. The reason why this makes sense is that it prevents you from setting up yourself for failure. It also helps you to keep your plan for your dreams realistic, because it gives you a time frame that is achievable and you can see the task broken down into steps. Remember, I said I'm going to give you three really, realistic examples, experiences of goals that I set and achieve. Obviously, it's not going to be going to a whole lot of detail, but I'm just going to give you really nice broad examples. But in the meantime, let's look at the SMART acronym: specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. So your goal needs to be very specific in terms of what you want to achieve personally or in life. For example, I want to bake a cake. It's very sort of generic. Yeah, you want to bake a cake. When you want to make it? What kind of cake you're going to make? For who you're going to make it? What occasion? You know, all of those things that people ask. It's so very broad and generic. However, if you say something like, I want to bake a cake, I want to bake a red velvet cake to serve at Christmas dinner, it starts to get a little bit more specific. Another example could be, I want to lose weight. Very generic. Like, how much weight do you want to lose? When do you want to lose it by? Why do you want to lose it? What method are you going to use to lose it? Etc., etc. However, if you replace that with, I want to lose 2 pounds by September 30th and fit into my favorite jeans, then that is gotten starting to get a little bit more specific. Then we have measurable. As the name suggests, measurable means that you need to have a quantity attached to it. So wanting to lose 2 pounds around the waist, thighs, and hips to fit into your favorite jeans is a good way of being specific and measurable. Of course, you can lose 2 pounds around your arms and you still wouldn't fit into your favorite jeans. That's very funny. But anyway, or some, you maybe want to get some Michelle Obama arms. You can actually, you know, mention that as well. All right. So up next, we have achievable. So there are two aspects to achievable. The first is looking to see if on average, other people have lost 2 pounds in 6 weeks. The other aspect is knowing if you personally have been able or if you are able to lose 2 pounds in 6 weeks. This is because what works for others may not necessarily work for you. If this has worked for you in the past, then most likely it is achievable again. It all depends, but it has to be something that is achievable. For example, you say, I'm going to make $1 million by tomorrow. And number one, you don't have your own sort of method of making that money or generating that income. So you don't have your own business. You don't have resources available to do that. Then is it achievable? No, it's not. Because you can't just magic it up. You have to have the resources, the medium, as in maybe having your own business or your own website, or maybe you have a retail store, or maybe you're one of the guys in Amazon. You know, you have to have a way of achieving that. It just doesn't magically happen. You don't get a check in the post from nowhere where someone is just sending you $1 million. That just doesn't work. So up next, we've got realistic, which is kind of sounds like what I was just talking about. This may sound exactly like achievable, but it is not. Here's why. Realistic refers to the fact that your current situation may prevent you from getting the results. So, for example, if you are unemployed and your dream is to buy a house, then it would take you a lot longer to achieve that goal compared to if you had access to funding or if you were working, etc. So the reality is that it may take you 7 years to buy a house if you're unemployed, compared to 2 years if you're earning a salary. This is because you may need to build up your personal credit rating, for example, as well as your savings balance. In other words, you need to be realistic in terms of what is achievable in terms of your current situation, the resources that you have available, as well as the time that you've got available. Next up, we've got timely. That is the T in SMART. Giving yourself sufficient time to achieve those goals is super important, as it will prevent you from failing on several attempts. So for example, if you never baked a cake in your life and you wait until the night before to make that red velvet cake, it is possible that there's so many things that can go wrong. You can have a flop of a cake. You might open the oven too soon and the cake might fall in the middle. You may realize that you're actually missing a very important ingredient and you want to rush out and buy it and all the shops are closed. You may not have creamed the sugar with the butter properly, and therefore the cake would be not coming out in a very good format. So I guess it's a good idea for you to practice doing it on a couple of occasions before you actually make the cake for the sale or for the birthday or for, you know, whatever, to achieve the best results. And you don't have to make it the same size. You can make smaller versions of it, like, you know, small tin of a small cake, like a loaf cake or whatever, just to practice. And then when the day finally comes, you can make a proper 9-inch cake then. So hopefully that gives you sort of a nice overview in terms of what it means to make SMART goals. So weight loss example. And I have another quote for you. What you get by achieving your goals is not as important as what you become by achieving your goals. And that's by Zig Ziglar. And I'll read it again. What you get by achieving your goals is not as important as what you become by achieving your goals. I think that is just so very important, something that you can actually resonate with. It's so very profound. Because, you know, sometimes we focus on achieving the goals in terms of maybe monetary value or maybe getting an A on your exam. But the person that you actually become after you've achieved those goals is just mind blown. So I'll tell you a little story. So this is the first example, a real life example I'm giving you. About 3 months ago, I decided I wanted to quit eating sugar, like cakes, biscuits, sweets, juices, ice cream. You get the idea. Each time I went to the supermarket, I would say that this is the last time I'm buying biscuits. And then I will not buy any more. This is what I'm saying to myself. This is the last pack. I'm just going to savor the last bit of these biscuits. And I won't buy any more. So you probably think by now, I wonder if she achieved it. Well, as you can tell, this wasn't a very smart goal because it wasn't specific, it wasn't measurable, it wasn't achievable, realistic, or timely. It's just me saying, I'm not buying any more biscuits because I wanted to stop eating sugars. So as I didn't sit down and make a plan, and there was no real motivation behind it. So when I realized that I was failing miserably at my no sugar goal, I decided to add two things to it. Do you know what those are? Firstly, I wanted to be able to hike better by not having shortness of breath when I went up steep inclines or hills. So in case you didn't know, sugar can cause a buildup of plaque in your arteries, which can lead to shortness of breath, increase in blood pressure, and coronary heart disease. That's one good reason to give up sugars, isn't it? I also added a look good incentive plan to it. I wanted to be able to fit into my size 10 jeans. Woo-hoo. To add some emotion to the plan, I imagined what it would be like to fit into my jeans. Oh, that feeling of, ooh, I've lost weight. I also visualized what it would be like to climb hills without shortness of breath. Ooh, and I just visualized this in my mind. If only I can just climb the hill without having to stop halfway and breathe and beg and plead with somebody to please help me up the hill because I like hiking. Do you know what happened? There are loads of biscuits in the house and I will not touch it. Personally, I find it easier to achieve my goals when those items are around because I can practice saying no every single day. So believe it or not, within 6 weeks, I stopped eating sweets, dropped a dress size, fit into my jeans, my size 10 jeans, and climbed hills without a shortness of breath. 6 weeks. That's all it took me to do it. And this is not like I sort of gave up sugars and then went to the gym and had a personal trainer. No, none of those things. All I did is eliminate sweets, sugars, etc. from my diet, and I was able to drop an entire dress size. I probably dropped more than one, but I dropped at least one. Now, my jeans, my regular jeans now, I need to sort of maybe get a sewing machine out and adjust them to fit me because my stretch jeans now fit me like baggy pants, believe it or not. So I have another example for you, a budgeting goal example. And I have another quote for you. Goals allow you to control the direction of change in your favor. That's by Brian Tracy. Goals allow you to control the direction of change in your favor. Many, many months ago, I needed to develop a strict budget so that I can invest more wisely in my business education. I kept putting it off and, you know, giving every excuse on planet Earth as to why I don't really need a budget. In fact, I said, I could manage this without, you know, putting things down in writing. After all, I know how much I'm spending every month and how much income I'm getting. Guess what? Yes, you've guessed it. It wasn't a very smart goal and I failed miserably. So to help me get the best results from budgeting, I started finding ways to eat cheaper and prepare meals in a more efficient manner. One clever thing I did is looking at the cost of acquiring my groceries on a weekly basis. At the time, the nearest supermarket was about 1.5 kilometers away. Now I think it's only about half a kilometer, if so much. But the cost of acquisition, so the cost of me getting public transport to go to the supermarket to pick up my groceries and come back home was about $5 return using the bus. So I try to do shopping every 2 weeks instead of every week. So I got everything in advance, and stuff that would normally spoil much quickly, I would actually take them and put them in the fridge. Things like apples and stuff like that. So I wouldn't buy apples. I'd buy 2 weeks' supply of apples and other things like tomatoes, etc., and put them in the fridge. I wouldn't have to buy them every single week. I looked also at ways to reduce my blogging bills as well as household bills significantly so that I'm at a needs-only level. Similar to my previous example, I added some emotional pain as well as some gain to the goal setting plan. I visualized myself spending less time cooking really every single day or every 2 days or so. And I also pictured myself experiencing the results from my blogging education that gave me that extra boost of motivation. And you've guessed it now. I cook food in large batches and freeze them in small portions that will last me a few days. So whenever I cook a big pot. Normally I would, depending, I'd either freeze half and leave half in the fridge, or freeze two thirds and put one third in the fridge, depending on how much I've cooked. Excuse me. And then that one third of half that I freeze, I don't freeze it in one big container. I freeze it in small quantities. So I'll be able to take out a small container that will last a week, or smaller, should I say, and or a few days. It doesn't have to be a week. It could be a few days. And then I freeze things, anything and everything. I freeze vegetables. I would freeze rice, pasta, you name it. I just freeze it all. That way, I cut down on my electric bill for cooking, the time I spent cooking, and the amount of time I have to spend going to the supermarket to get the goods and come back home. So I cook in large batches, as I said. So also I plan my expenditure in advance so that I know what my monthly budget is going to be. And of course, kids don't get that, but I push back as much as I possibly can. So my savings are now about $2,000 a year, which is great. It only happened because I set a goal to reduce expenses significantly. All right. Are you ready for another example? All right. So blog topic planning goal example. So set realistic goals, keep reevaluating them, and be consistent. This is a quote by Venus Williams. And I will say it again. So Venus Williams says, set realistic goals, keep reevaluating them, and be consistent. Actually, she says, set realistic goals, keep reevaluating, and be consistent. That's the short. She didn't say them. But anyway, you get the point. You can look it up online. So when I first started this particular podcast and blog, I decided I wanted to produce a blog post and a podcast every single week. It means that I would need to have a new topic ready every single week for 52 weeks of the year. Whoa. Sometimes I published two posts a week, but more regularly it is just one, as you can tell if you had looked at my previous podcast episodes and my show notes or blog posts. The difficulty with this routine is planning in such a way that I am not scrambling to write another post 24 hours before it's due. So in other words, I produce a podcast and a blog post every Monday, and what I've realized, I probably did this probably once, leaving it to last minute, you know, waiting until Sunday or Sunday afternoon to find a topic, research a topic, write the blog post, put in the images, all of that sort of madness. It's just not going to work out for me because I am a person who likes planning in advance. So I have to admit that it is not always easy, but over time, I've trained my brain to start thinking of the topic, or the next topic even, 7 to 10 days in advance. Luckily, I have had the opportunity to have 4 to 5 topics or blog posts ready at a single time, and the only issue was deciding which one to publish when. So this is another goal that I struggled with during the early days of this particular podcast, but I have learned to achieve it every single week. Each time I would visit the place of my pain in my head of what it would feel like if I don't publish a blog post on time, if I don't produce a podcast episode on time. Picturing myself feeling disappointed or for not achieving my weekly goal has really helped me to just keep going. Every single week, I'm surprised that I achieved my blog topic goal and I do a little celebration. So that really, really helped me. So what is that one reason why you don't achieve your goals? Do you know what it is by now? If you go back to my first example where I dropped a dress size in 6 weeks, you will notice something interesting. I mentally conditioned myself to accept the fact that it will be my last pack of biscuits, but each time I just went back to do the same old routine. However, the moment I gave myself other reasons, both positive and negative, I found the motivation to let go of that old habit. There is something that I did not mention previously, and that is over 5 to 6 years ago, I gave up on sugars for about a year or two and dropped two or three dress sizes, I can't remember right now. In other words, I knew that this will work for me because I already attempted it successfully in the past. If you saw my bucket list of 50 things to do before 50, you know that there are other reasons for me wanting to give up sugars. I've left the link in the show notes so you can have a look there. And the show notes can be found by going to successunscrambled.com/achieve-goals. So that's successunscrambled.com/achieve-goals. All right, so the bottom line. What is the bottom line? The bottom line is that you really need to attach emotion to your goals if you genuinely want to achieve them. So what are the ways to achieve goals? I have so many experiences where I set and achieve goals every day of the week that it will make this podcast episode too long for your listening pleasure. So instead, let me outline a summary of what I've learned about the best way to set and achieve goals for success. Here is a list of things that you will expect that will happen to you, right? You will be resistant to change. You know, nobody likes change. And you'll notice that you would, you know, give yourself any excuse in planet Earth to not go through that change. It does take a new level of motivation to set and achieve those goals. You need to give yourself 3 or 4, even 5 reasons to do it. So it can't be just one single reason of, I want to look good in my new clothes, or I want to change up my wardrobe, or whatever the reason that you have, maybe for weight loss, or maybe you have a reason for wanting to quit your job, for example. But you have to give yourself several reasons to do it. Failure is part of the process. So you're going to fail, unfortunately, or fortunately, because you learn so much from failure. You would need to add emotion to that whole goal setting process. So if you remember, I went through that process of visualizing myself, what I would look like. And believe it or not, I got a whole lot of people came up to me from all over the place. You lost weight. What's the secret? You lost weight. What's the secret? I kept getting it over and over again. I lost the weight, but I sort of, because I didn't actually go out shopping and, you know, bought new clothes or anything like that. I sort of wore my old clothes. Well, obviously, they were fitting much more loosely. And people kept on coming up from, so what's the secret? How are you looking really good? What's the secret? Of course, when I tell them, and no sugars, everybody gets disappointed. I think it's hilarious. But yeah, if that's one of your goals, you want to be able to look good in your dress, or look good in an old pair of jeans or whatever it is, and you want people to come up and compliment you of your weight loss. Maybe that's your goal. That wasn't my goal. It just happened accidentally. In fact, it didn't matter to me that people came up and said anything or not, but looking back now, I'm seeing like, what is the story? Everybody kept on, okay, what's the secret? Anyway, here are the steps to set the goal. Write down that dream. So once you have the dream, you want to drop 2 dress sizes. You want to bake a super delicious, moist copy of the Cheesecake Factory red velvet cake, then, you know, write that down as your dream. Question to ask yourself, number 2, does the dream align with your passion and purpose? I know this might be sounding really crazy, but if you want to bake a red velvet cake, and the reason for it is because you're passionate about opening your own bakery or becoming a cake decorator, maybe that's your passion and purpose. And if that dream aligns with your passion and purpose, then you have a much higher chance of achieving that goal compared to if that's not your passion. So my passion is not about becoming a cake baker or cake decorator by any stretch of the imagination, especially when since I'm off sugars. So that doesn't align with my passion or purpose. So the answer to that is no. And I'm not going to be motivated then to make a red velvet cake. That is very similar to the one that you get in Cheesecake Factory. That's just not going to happen because it just isn't me. Number three is your why big enough to overcome obstacles. So if your why, your passion and purpose is to become a cake decorator, and your why, so your why doesn't have to be you want to open a bakery, or you want to be the best baker in your city or town. Your why could be something bigger. It could be something like you want to be able to support a charity by giving a donation from this business, this cake decorating business that you have. You want to give a donation every year to it because right now you're not able to do it in your current scenario, but you believe that opening this bakery, you'll be able to do donation, support the needy, the poor. You can have a why that is huge, phenomenally huge. And if your why is big enough, no matter, because you're going to face obstacles. Like, for example, you might want to say, okay, I want to open a bakery, and you might find the perfect place, and the landlord might say, no, we are not giving you this place to open a bakery. That's a big obstacle. And if your why isn't big enough, you'll just be disappointed, go home, and throw away your dream because one person said no to you. So what I'm saying to you is, number three is your why needs to be huge for you to overcome whatever obstacles. If somebody says no, you move on and find another place and so on and so on. Number four, start with the end in mind. So the end goal, if you're going to open a bakery that bakes delicious red velvet cakes, the end goal would be to supply your neighborhood with lovely red velvet cakes, or like I mentioned, sponsoring a charity or two in your neighborhood, giving back to the community, etc. You start with that in mind because you picture yourself doing the donations or helping out or whatever it is that the end is, because that will actually propel you or help you achieve your goals or your dreams. Number five, you turn the dream into a plan. So you've got a dream, you want to bake delicious, moist, copycat red velvet cakes that are copycat to the chocolate cheesecake factory that has something that's different for whatever reason. I'm just making this up as I go. You turn it into a plan. Okay, in order to bake red velvet cakes, the first thing you probably need to do is bake red velvet cakes once a month until you become really good at it, until you master the craft. And you probably don't want to do only red velvet cakes. You probably want to do other kind of cakes as well. So until you master the craft, you can volunteer. Like people in a neighborhood might want a cake for like friends or family, want a cake for a birthday, engagement party, for a wedding, maybe not a wedding, maybe it's not a wedding yet, but engagement party, etc. And you volunteer to do it. In other words, you tell them, bring me the ingredients and I'll bake it for you. So they're getting it free of charge, basically, but they just have to supply the ingredients. And you bake it, you take pictures, so you're now building up a portfolio of cakes that you can make successfully. And once you build up that portfolio of 10, 20 different kind of cakes, that is putting your dream into action. Obviously, you take that dream now, put it into action by taking that plan and breaking it into smaller chunks. In order for me to open a bakery in the next 12 months that bakes delicious copycat cheesecake factory cakes, these are the things I need to do. I need to be able to have a portfolio of 20 different cakes. I need to get funding to open the bakery. I need to find a place where I can get a bakery. I need to survey the people in the town to see if there is really a need for a bakery that bakes delicious cakes. You know, you break it down to chunks. And then you know you need to do a survey. So you take that's the task, the chunk of I need to do a survey or survey the community, and you begin with a smaller task. Okay, in order to do a survey of the community, I need to format a questionnaire and take that questionnaire now and break it down, decide, okay, what the questions are that I need to ask to make it, they call it primary research, because you're actually approaching people directly and asking them. So secondary research is when you find out from, when you pull facts and figures from someone else's research, whereas primary research means that you interview people directly. So you go from house to house with your clipboard and your survey, asking these questions, asking people to complete it. Or you might go to a shopping center or whatever and ask people about cake, about their need for cakes in the community, a cake bakery in the community. So you have all these chunks to achieve, you know, have a portfolio of cakes, you do your questionnaire, you find a spot to do a bakery. You probably also need to equipment to bake the cakes in large volumes, or maybe you're doing it in small volumes, or maybe you're doing cupcakes or whatever. So you need equipment, you need funding, etc. So you have all these big chunks and you break them into smaller tasks. So you convert those chunks, that's number 7, convert the chunks into small manageable tasks. So those are the steps to actually setting the goal. So in terms of your daily action plan, you want to assign dates to your task. So to find out about the equipment for your upcoming bakery in 12 months, you make a list of all the different kind of equipment you need and you get quotations from all these different suppliers. So you know the actual cost of setting up your bakery, the cost of getting a place, etc. You break that into small manageable tasks. And every day you accomplish these tasks and check them off your list. So do the work that is required to achieve the task. Invest in the needed education where you have the knowledge gaps. So because you have no experience running a bakery, you might want to go and do a course in, I don't know, some sort of a chef that bakes stuff. I can't remember the name right now. I think they call them pastry chef or something to that effect. So you want to do a course, a 6-month course or a 2-month course in becoming a chef that you know exactly all the different kinds of batters that will make the different kinds of cakes. You evaluate your performance against the dates. So you look back and say, okay, I need to accomplish these things in the first 3 months. Have I accomplished them? And then you look again in the next 3 months and so on and so on. You revisit your goals, your chunks, and your tasks regularly to make sure you're getting there. By the time you get to month 9, it shouldn't be a last minute rush thing where you're scrambling to get all of those tasks completed. And by the time you get to month 11, you should be already having the funding. You actually have all the equipment almost ready to go. You'll be sending out flyers to the neighborhood, telling people that the bakery is going to be opening in 4 weeks' time and, you know, what they can expect, etc. And then number 6, in part of a daily action plan, is that you celebrate your wins. So once you get the funding, you celebrate that. You might need to go on to those crowdfunding platforms and raise funding for your bakery. You know, I don't know what plans you have and how much resources you have available, but these are the things that you need to consider when setting your goals and achieving them step by step. The secret to success is working on your goals every day in an effort to cross things off your list. Personally, it helps me to evaluate my progress every evening so that I can see how I'm progressing against tasks and chunks. So, as you can see, setting and achieving goals takes time, but it is totally doable, especially if it is something you are passionate about. It does take some planning, evaluating, recalculating into your efforts. Investing emotionally in the project can help you overcome huge obstacles. So picturing yourself, okay, if it is I don't do that, how will that make me feel? And if it is I do accomplish that, how will that make me feel? So you're putting some emotional skin in the game. The bigger the project, the more time and planning that it needs to go into making it successful. And yes, you might fail. You might say, I want to do this in 12 months' time. I want to open my bakery in 12 months' time. And you realize actually putting it to 18 months might be a better idea because of delay in funding or delay in equipment or, you know, delay in you getting the knowledge that you need, the education that you need, etc. Working on someone else's dream may not motivate you enough to get the results needed by the organization. So get the necessary coaching that you need to overcome obstacles And remember to invest in the education you need to up-level your performance. And it may mean that you need to get even more education even after you open the bakery. You might need to do other things as well. So, over to you. What has been your experience in setting goals and achieving them? It'd be great to hear from you by leaving some feedback in the comments and the show notes, which you can find at successunscrambled.com/achieve-goals. That's successunscrambled.com/achieve-goals. All right. So remember to subscribe to the Success Unscrambled podcast, where you will be the first to hear what's happening in the entrepreneurial and digital marketing world. Your positive review of this podcast is vital to keeping it alive and running for the next 12 to 24 months. So please leave a positive review for us on iTunes, Spotify, or any of your favorite podcast players. Are you struggling with finding the motivation to achieve your dreams? Then you can spend some time accessing the resource I have that teaches you how to get motivated and stay motivated. I've left a link in the show notes. If you want to take advantage of some free blogging information, grab the awesome resource that outlines the process to create a blog. Again, I've left a link in the show notes. If you're at the very, very start of your journey, where you're wondering what is possible for you in the future, in other words, you have no idea what you want to do, etc., you can take a look at the 7 books for business owners or small or bloggers. I've left, again, a link in the show notes. If you are a startup or small business and you need to hire a virtual assistant to complete tasks such as social media management or blogging, keyword research, and Pinterest account management, then take a look at the packages that I have available. I've left a link again in the show notes, which you can find at successunscrambled.com/achieve-goals. Okay? Until next time, enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of your week. Bye for now.